I really believe that it is important to share what we've learned and what we know with other people and to have other people share with us. So it is so exciting to have today our first guest on the Managing Mum. I've got Shan Wright with us today. She is a mum of four, a wife of 13 years, a wellness coach. She has a love for Jesus. Her passion is holistic healing and wellness, which grew after her experience with postpartum anxiety. And her job now, her calling now, is to share the solutions she uses for intentional and peaceful motherhood. She has a top 3% globally ranked podcast called Holistic Mums. I've met her through my podcasting journey, and this conversation is just a fun conversation around what she's learned in her journey. She tells me she's always down for deep conversations, and we get into quite a deep conversation here today. She loves doing things active. She loves reading. She loves worship music. And I just felt like there was so much synergy between what Shan is talking about and what we are talking about here on the Managing Mum. So I'm so excited to have her on the show. I hope that you get a lot from this conversation. It's a lot of chatting. We really got into it, but Shan has so much to offer us. So take advantage of it. Take some time, get a cup of coffee, and just join us in this fun first conversation with somebody else on the show. Are you overwhelmed by the juggle of trying to fit it all in? Do you long to be more present, but you just find yourself reacting to life rather than being in control of it? Are you desperate for some me time in amongst the chaos? I'm Charlotte, a personal trainer, coach, mum, and wife who works because I love my job. I was living the absolutely chaotic life of working full-time, managing the emotional and mental load, trying to meet everyone's needs while completely forgetting about my own. And I finally realized that if I was going to enjoy my work and this journey of motherhood, I needed to set boundaries and make choices that would make me feel more in control, would make me feel healthier and happier so that I could work and mother the way that I wanted to. If you want to create a way of being that allows you to get your work done and be the mum you want to, while earning an income and finding joy in your work, I'm so glad you're here. So put away that laptop, tie up your mum bun, and lock the bathroom door. We're learning how to juggle. Welcome to our first guest on the Managing Mum. I am so excited to have Shan here today. Shan is a mum of four. And lives in, Shan, tell us where you are. Where are you based?
Yeah, I am in Indiana.
Indiana. So she's far away from us here in South Africa, but closer to some of you who are listening in America. And Shan is the host of another podcast, Helping Working Mums or Mums in general. She's got a podcast called Holistic Mums, and we have been sharing lots of things as we've gone through this podcasting journey together. And I am just thrilled to have you here today, Shan. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited.
Before the interview, Shan, you and I were talking about how children have no concept of money or time, which I know is something that is a big thing for you, Shan. And I think as a mother of four, yeah, is a big focus, I know, of what you are talking about around your podcast at the moment, but perhaps something that we can get into in a bit. But I just wanted to first find out and to hear a little bit more about how you ended up doing what you do today. Where have you come from? What's your story? And what are you up to now?
Yeah, well, kind of a long story, but I'll kind of give you the highlights. So I'm going to take you to high school though. A little far back. I only wanted to be a mom when I grew up. I did not have any career in mind. I did not have, any dreams and wishes of that. I just really liked kids and I wanted to be a mom. I don't really know if I was from, one of five kids. So I think I just grew up with kids around me all the time that I was like, this is just what it's supposed to be like. And when I become a mom or when I get married, I have kids. So that's just what I want to do. Well, so, but I wanted to go to college to play sports. So, I was like, what am I going to study? And I just had some mentors in my life that were like, well, you like the body and you're really good at school. So, what's your favorite subject? And I'm like, anatomy. And they're like, okay, well, then just go into something healthcare. And so I went into nursing school. And this is actually a sad but important fact that I went to school and it was a Christian university. And I went for to play field hockey and I was good. And I was asked to come play, but the sad, embarrassing, true fact is that I did not make the team as a freshman. It was, and this is also sad, embarrassing fact, it was because of my attitude. Me and the coach didn't really click, and she thought that I was having a bad attitude, where in reality, I was actually mad at myself. So I have this little thing called anxiety that makes me have anger towards myself if I'm not perfect. And as a 18-year-old, I was still struggling with that quite some bit, right? So I was struggling with that, and I ended up not making the team. And I was like, should I leave this school? I'm only here for field hockey. And my mom said, give it a month or a semester or a month. I'm not sure how long she said, but she suggested stick around for a little bit. So I went to this nursing program that I like had no, I'm like, I just want to be a mom. But it was very quickly into that program that I was like, wow, God has me here. I really think God has me here. And I have always been fascinated with the body, more because of how God made the body, not necessarily because I liked the science of it. I do like science, but it was more like how amazing, fearfully, and wonderfully God made the body. And so when I learned that at a Christian nursing program, I was just blown away. And they taught us how we are spiritual beings living in human form on earth, and how important that is to grasp that as you care for individuals. So that was the foundation of our nursing program. And I didn't really know how far that was going to take me because I just thought, how can you be a nurse and not be a Christian? Like, if this is what we are, we're spiritual beings, how can people who aren't Christians or believe that God created the body, how do they nurse? Well, I went into the nursing world and realized that very much is just what they do. They just care for the physical body. They put band-aids on. It's a lot of medications. And I really, it didn't settle with me, but very well. But I loved the way that I viewed my perspective, my biblical perspective, worldview, as I was going into a very liberal worldview environment. And it was a struggle, but it also taught me so much. It taught me so much about me, taught me so much about just in hindsight, I'm like, wow, God was like weaving things in and out of my life so on purpose. And I loved nursing, was in there for 10 years in the cancer world. So hematology, oncology, loved that. But then I had my second kid and decided it was time to put nursing on the back burner. Actually, I was trying to find a job. And God reminded me, remember that dream in your heart to just be a mom? I'm giving you your dream. And it was another struggle. It was like, really? Is this what I'm supposed to do? But I worked so hard for that degree. And that was blood, sweat, and tears. And I'm supposed to lay it down and take up motherhood as a full-time thing. And so I really struggled with identity. And it honestly took me a full year of prayer times and morning times with God to come to grip with my identity that I am not a nurse. Like, that is a role that I play. That is not who I am. And I'm not even a mom. Like, I play a role as a mom, and I'm blessed to be a mom, but that's not who he, like, I am. That's not the characteristics, the things that he made me. Unfortunately, motherhood could go. And I'm still gonna be his child that he made with characteristics and traits and all of that. So, and a purpose, even if that role goes, I still have a great purpose. So it's been a long thing. And so nursing was on the back burner. And I was like, one day I'm gonna pick it up again. I don't know how, I don't know when, maybe school nursing, but I just had like that hope and a dream that it was just still there. I worked so hard for it, but I was going to be in motherhood for a while. Well, I got asked after my fourth kid was born, and I got asked, not asked. I actually, on my wellness journey, had a lot of anxiety, and it led to a friend sharing with me a supplement. And so I started taking the supplement and feeling amazing. So feeling really good from the inside out. And that led me to sharing it. Well, that sharing led me to a wellness business. So now here I am entering into the health and wellness space. And I felt like a nurse again. And I was like, wow, I get to talk about the body again. I get to help people. And it has nothing to do with medicine. And it has nothing to do with diagnosis. It actually is just like helping and sharing and encouraging. And this felt way more soul aligned to me. And then, I mean, it's been 3.5 years now and on this journey. And God has just shown me how holistically I've always cared about the body, thought about the body. And now I want to share that. And it's, he's given me a way different platform to share it, as in podcasting and coaching. And it is just what lights me up to share with other moms and women how they can care for their holistic body in all the ways, even while they're in the throes of motherhood and feel stressed out and anxious, because I did it. So I can now share with you how you can do it too.
Amazing. What a story. And just that move from I'm going to be in this team, but then I'm not in this team and I'm going to focus here. And actually that's not right for me. And I just heard even in your voice, shifting into that place of where you are now, there was a change for you in how you felt.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that a lot of your focus is around anxiety. What do you think? I mean, is it still prevalent for you, or what has changed for you that it isn't so prevalent if it isn't?
Oh my goodness. So there was this. So hindsight is 2020, and looking back, like I said, I knew God had me in that nursing program. And looking back, I'm like, wow, that went full circle. I'm now in holistic wellness, which is what I was taught as an 18-year-old. And it's been many years since. And so it has been on a journey. And it wasn't until becoming a mom that I realized I had a lot of anxiety. And it was labeled as different things growing up. And so very early in this new space God had me in, this health and wellness holistic space, he wanted to take me on a wellness journey. And in order for me to help others, which was what he wants me to do and impact others, he had to first take me on that. And it's kind of funny how I've, the words are here, but it's like the first year it was confidence, the second year it was courage, and the third year was peace. And now, and then the fourth year, 2024, is vision. And so where I'm going now that I've gathered these things, right? And so I'm taking them on my journey. But as far as anxiety goes, in that beginning, that first year of confidence, he told me, so many people my whole life had told me that I am shy, and it always kind of, I hated hearing it. It did not feel right. And I went, you know, to him in prayer, and I don't, it was someone else's story. Someone else was sharing about they had been told shy. And when they said it, I felt that, like, that stop, not in my stomach, like, I'm called that too. And I don't think I am. And so I went to God in prayer, and he's like, no, you're strong and courageous. You're actually not shy. And it was like an identity thing that I had to realize. Well, it wasn't until recently that he told me that shy, I was covering up that shy with anxiety. So it was really what was happening inside was this anxious feeling of, what do I say? And how do I say it? And when do I speak? And who do I talk to? And instead it was coming off to others as shy, but inside it was a whole lot of anxiety. And I can see that in my daughter. And so she is the one that is teaching me through like conversations with God and her life, how, wow, that's how I was at that age. And now I can teach her how to get out of that, how to work her way through that anxiety and to lay it down now so she doesn't have to go through the same things that I went through. But it was being shy. And then and then in postpartum, obviously hormones go crazy. So I actually struggled with a lot of postpartum anxiety. And then God gave me tools and strategies in that season of life. And then my fourth baby, I was like, okay, after my third baby, I got all these tools and strategies. I was like, I got this. Well, then my fourth baby, it was a full-on mental pregnancy. Even from the get-go, like my body had done this three other times. So like, I didn't really have any physical ailments and aches and pains. It was all mental. And it took me all pregnancy. And then, you know, the start of a really hard postpartum. And again, I had to like, okay, God, well, how do I deal with this now? And what do I do? And he actually led me to a piece that I can't explain really, but I try to, because I'm like, well, how do I share this with others? How do they get this too? And so, yeah, I would say I'm on the other side of anxiety, and I can still see that I am prone to it. And so there are little spots where I can see it come up, but I have this toolkit of so many things that God has told me that I can just pull out and be like, well, in this scenario, I get stressed out and I know that. So I'm going to pull this tool out and I'm going to use it. So it just really is me partnering with God and saying, you've given me the tools. Now I need to take action in using them. And I know that is going to lead me to peace and not anxiety.
What a wonderful story of just how you've used your experience and being so aware of what's happening for you, and in noticing what's happening for you, being able to make the changes that he wants for you, and to see yourself step out of those stories that I love the idea that it was the story that you had heard about yourself that was causing the anxiety. And I so often hear people say, oh, I'm just an anxious person. So even that story in itself creates anxiety, because I'm just an anxious person, so I should be anxious about X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
So what do you, when you are working with somebody who comes to you for support, you've obviously got your what you sell, but as a coach, what are the kinds of things that you are doing with your clients?
Yeah. So I really think it comes down to those stories in our head. And I label them as lies that the enemy plants there. And we have these lies that we believe, and we believe them so wholeheartedly, and we act on them. So you have your thoughts, and a repeated thought is a belief. And then a belief turns into words. And then we know how much power words have. And then your words turn into action. And your action is your destiny. You continue to do the same actions over and over. That is your life. And so if we can reverse that and go back to our thoughts and take control over our thoughts and find out what they are, recognize them, like call them out, say, why am I thinking that? And when it does become words, stop yourself, or even do that for a friend. I remember I'm learning this and trying to put this into practice. And I was in this little like mentorship group, and my friend who also knows all of this truth, she was saying, we're just so sick all the time. I am so sick. And it was like negative comments about her health on, you know, for a few minutes. And I was like, hey, I was like, no, you are healed and spirit filled. Sickness and disease are far from you. You have to speak that truth out loud. And so I called her out on it. And she's like, you're right. Like, I should not be putting these words that have so much power out there. And so I really teach my clients, like, what you say matters, but we can't just We can't just say things that are not in our belief system. We're not going to just say something that we has never been in our mind. We haven't even thought about it before. We don't believe it. So we got to bury some truth inside of us. And that all starts with taking out the lies first and then replanting the truth, the root, getting truth rooted down into your brain, into your heart, so that that is what comes out. Because the Bible says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we got to put it down into our heart. We got to put, and physiologically and scientifically, it's in the brain. So it's in your little brain stem. You literally have roots, neurons that control what you say. And so that's where we got to start. And so I help them do that. I help them identify the lies. I help them take those stories out of their head and replace them with the truth of what is true, what God says about them, what a new story, the story he wants to write in their life. And then that will then control your everything, your words, your actions, everything.
And what do you see happening for these women as they come through? Well, first of all, I'd be really interested to find out, you know, what are the kinds of things that you are seeing, the challenges that women are coming to you with when they are looking for your support and for your health? What are they struggling with?
Oh, yeah. So a very common one is I'm not good enough, right? Like, I feel like all of us have thought that at some point, whether we've dug up that lie yet or not, it might still be there, or we've already replaced it with truth. Because it even kind of pains me to say that out loud. But that is one of the main lies that people come with. And because of that lie and that truth that they're, their truth that they're living under, it's turning into, you know, trying to do so many things to be good enough, trying to do all these things to be good. And this fear that grips them causes anxiety. It causes more stress in their life. It causes their relationships to not be what they should because they're living under this fear that I am not good enough. I'm not good enough for my kids. I'm not good enough for my husband. I'm not a good enough if they're working. I'm not a good enough employee. I can't do all of these things and be a good mom at the same time. And that is causing it to go in a cycle. And so, yeah, that would be a big one. Another one is They just want to connect. We're so relational. We're such relational human beings. And they just want to connect with the people in their life instead of, you know, doing all the things, all the responsibilities. So it's like, how can I connect more and be more present with my people and still have time to do all the other things I have to do? Because these are responsibilities that I have to do. I have to keep my home. I have to, you know, maybe I have to make money. I have to go pick up the kid. So how do I have time for all that and have time for the things that I need as a human? I need my wellness areas in check. I need relationships. I need that connectivity. So how do I have all of it? How do I do all of it?
And so when they come to you with these things, these stories that, I mean, first of all, where do you think that all of these stories come from?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. It's they're layers deep, and sometimes it might take. Sometimes people think they have this lie and this story, and it's just right there on the surface, and that's not pulling it up at the root. So if we just like said, okay, no, I am good enough, and but if you didn't find out where that came from, and really pull that from the root. Like maybe it was from when you were three and you were like, you know, neglected in a large family or something. And you felt like I can never live up to this sibling. And so I'm not good enough to get my parents' love and attention. Like, or someone said something to you when you were younger, someone said something to you even in high school or college, and you've carried that with you. You might even have blocked out the situation that it happened in, but you're still living under that lie and it has grown. It has become an onion with a lot of different layers, and You don't even know what the root of it is. So we have to get to that. And that takes prayer. It takes prayer, and God will reveal it. So he reveals what he wants to heal. So if we are in prayer with him and he knows we want, you know, peace in this area, and we're seeking wisdom for him, from him, he's going to show us where it came from. And then we're going to be able to repent, confess, forgive, like renounce what that was. We have these, another word for these beliefs that we have that are not true, are inner vows. And so we can literally break the vow, say, nope, I no longer come under that. I no longer agree with that, because I know that is not what God has for me, and that is not truth. And so I don't want to believe anything that's not truth. And so it comes with layers and finding out, doing the hard work with God. And I mean, there are some questions I can ask to help facilitate that prayer. I call it guided prayer. So there are some ways that we can be praying together and really with God, obviously, and we're two or more gathered, like God is there and he's there helping us work through that, that heart situation and get to the root of it.
Yeah. And just so I loved that idea of that inner vow, because if you are married to that thought,
yeah, and
taking that analogy further, if you're married to that thought and you just go with it, you know, it's abusing you in a way. It's kind of holding you down and keeping you in that belief and in that, the feelings that come, you know, I keep thinking back to that shy little person who wasn't shy, but had this belief that she was shy, and the anxiety that grew out of that, that then caused you to not be able to show up in the way that God had made you to be, and in the way that he wanted you to be. And now you kind of have this freedom.
Yeah.
And a wonderful gift to be able to give other people is this incredible freedom to actually step out in the truth of who we are. I don't know if you've ever heard the story of I think in the Vietnamese town or an Eastern village somewhere, and they had a gold statue, and the village was being attacked. And so they just threw concrete around this gold statue so that it wouldn't get stolen by the attackers. And 200 years later, other people had moved into this village and they knocked it, and some of that concrete fell off, and they managed to kind of peel away the concrete, and underneath it was this gold statue. And in a way, that's what you're doing, is just helping your clients to peel away that concrete, that lie that's holding them from the gold and the real truth shining out.
Yes, yes.
It's absolutely, it's just so exciting. And tell me what you love about your job. What is it that you just love about being able to do this work?
Well, I love it because God told me to do it. But I've been in the health and wellness space, and I was really in network marketing and trying to just share how these products had changed my life and changed me from the inside out and in those ways. And with the nursing background and expertise and what these supplements are doing to your body. And I was comfortable. And then it was like a whim. I saw something on someone else's social media and it said something about a challenge. And I was like, and I think it was a God idea. He just dropped in, like, do a holistic health challenge and just help whoever comes to you in this challenge with whatever holistically they have going on. So it took, like, you know, those God ideas, they take like 10 seconds to put together and you're like, okay, I know this was not me, right? Cause it went so fast. So, and I don't create very quickly. So this came together so fast, and it ended up being a 21-day holistic health challenge with 12 different women. And I walked them through whatever health challenge they had, and I felt very, like, it literally felt like a fire inside of me, like, as I got started. The day before, I was sharing with my spiritual mentor that I was doing this, and I hadn't even told her yet. And she's like, wow. Like, she spoke life into me, and I felt like this flame was going, and it led me through the whole 21 days. Like, I prayed for those 12 women every day. I walked them through like one-on-one coaching every week. Like, it was intense. Now that I'm looking back, how did I even do that? Well, it was because God gave me this fire and he did it. And so it was then that time, of course, that was last April, that God said, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to help other women do this. Like, you're supposed to coach. And again, take that little shy girl. Like, part of my shyness was speaking. Like, I did not speak in front of people. I did not speak in front of the class. I didn't speak on, actually, you know, I managed through high school and college and all of that. And then I got to MOPS as a mom with two littles, and I was on the leadership, and I had to speak on the stage. And I remember being like, guys, I don't speak, again, speaking lies out loud. I don't speak in groups. I can't do this. Those are all lies. And that was something that I believed for so long, that I'm too shy to do this. And I told them, I was like, it's not that, maybe I am a little nervous, but also like my body, like my voice will shake, my hands will shake, my whole body shakes, and it looks crazy. And that's that physiological response that's happening from anxiety inside, like my fight or flight. That is what's happening inside. I'm fighting, but it's coming out in these crazy, like, voice shaking thing that I'm like, I can't control this. That was in MOPS, like, what, 6 years, like, not that long ago. And so when he told me, he actually told me about a podcast, probably a year before this coaching thing. And I just kept pushing back on it. Like, I don't speak, God. And of course, he had me all in Moses and reading Moses's life in all these different ways. And I'm like, he's like, you are a spokesperson. You are my spokesperson. And then you are to coach. And so the whole thing is like, I, now that I've stepped into it and I've obeyed, which it took me a long time, I can see, well, this is why God has me, like, I don't know all of God's answers and reasons and whys, right? But I'm like, I feel when I do coach, I literally feel, again, like that fire comes back. I was just on a coaching call yesterday that was like a little unconventional, because she's like, I only have 30 minutes. So we try to like skip through some things and rush through some things. And, but still, I was like, wow, like, I can just feel the energy just rises where it, I feel, I, there's literally no other word for me to say, but I feel like I'm on fire. And she was someone that knows me. So she was like, no, this is, I was like, sorry, we're rushing through this. And if it was typical coaching session, I do this. And she's like, no, this has been really good. And so just the response that I get, the feedback that I get from my clients, but really it means a lot, but really the fact that I know God has put me here and I'm just getting started. So I know, like, the vision, obviously I was saying earlier, vision is my word this year. I know there's so much vision for this and he's given me the vision, and I know I'm not anywhere near that, but that is what gets me going. 'Cause I'm like, I know God has vision for this. I know he did not make all these pieces work together to just have me here wasting time. Like, he knows I don't like to waste time. So he has me here for such a purpose. And I can't deny what I feel when I am in that space coaching and even podcasting.
Yeah. And just to see you, I mean, I just have this vision of the lies causing this, the shaky voice and the shaky hands and this kind of, you know, almost like watered down because of the lie, and then this fire that comes up, and I can see in your face and in your voice just how you get so excited by doing this thing that you now believe you can do, and yeah, just how important words are for what we do believe that we can do and what we do want to get out of this life. It's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, that is so true. Like, well, I'll tell you, I didn't believe I could do it at first, right? Like when he called me, so I've been working on this whole kingdom identity thing since I put nursing on the back burner. So I'm like, okay, God, well, who am I then? Who am I? And he has called me a few things. One is like, my name actually means wise one. And I've always thought that because probably on both hands, I can tell you the amount of people that have called me wise. Like it's been quite a bit. And with them not knowing my name means that they've called me wise. They've told me that I have wisdom to share. They've told me like in so many ways, so many people have told me over the years, but I never was taking it as an identity. I was taking it as, oh no, I was brushing it off. Like, I'm just sharing, you know, whatever. But God told me, even if it's not like you didn't come up with anything, like I came up with every piece of information, knowledge that you obtain is from me. So even if you're sharing someone else's knowledge and wisdom, that is wise for you to do. Because no, you might not have wrote those words. You might not have said that. But when you say, oh, I heard this podcast yesterday and this person said this, and you share it with someone else, that's sharing wisdom. And you are really good at that. So it was like God giving me this new light on something and this new perspective and saying, that is what I call you. I call you my wise one that shares things. And then that's encouraging to others. And so you encourage others. And then he called me a coach once. And then he called me that spokesperson. And I was like, okay, well, what do I do with these identities? And so then it led to obviously where I am now. But when he first told me them, it was like that journaling session was like, no, like, really? Like, how do I do this? Am I really this? And that doubt comes in because you're struggling with the lie and the truth. And I mean, if you were told me then when he first called me a coach that I would be one today, I would be like, what? Like, I would not believe it. But I'll tell you what I did because it's very practical and y'all can take this away. So, and you can do this. So what I did was I had a mentor, and this is when I first entered into my health and wellness business. And she was my mentor in business. And she was like, Shannon, you are really confident in certain things. You're confident in nursing. I can see that. You're confident in knowing the body and liking all of that information. You're confident in being a mom. She's like, I can see, and you know, and y'all moms out there, you know, you were not confident when you first brought your baby home. That grew, right? It grew over time. But when she's talking to me, I had 4 kids. So she's like, you're confident as a mom. But she's like, you are not, she's like, and she could say this to me because she was my mentor and friend, but she's like, you're not confident in yourself. And I took that pretty hard. I cried because I was like, I was like, how do you gain confidence in yourself? There's like, that seems impossible. Like, I don't know how to do that. And I know God confidence, like God can do anything, but like, how does that translate to me? And it wasn't deep down in me. It was surface level. It was head knowledge. Like I grew up in Christian school and culture and church. I was like, it was complete head knowledge. Like I knew I could do all things through Christ, but I didn't believe that in my belief system. And so I was like, well, how do I do this? And she's like, well, I'll tell you what my mentor taught me and I'll teach it to you. So very simply, take the lie that I was believing, and mine were the common ones. I'm not good enough. People don't want to hear from me. People don't care what I have to say. People don't want what I have. And those are the main ones I can think of right now. Well, I'm not good enough was like wife, mom, sister, friend. It was all the things. So she said, those are the lies, take the truth. And I'm like, well, what's the truth? She literally had to help me with this because when I'm like, I see people want to hear what I have to say. I'm like, okay, well, some people want to hear what I have to say, or certain people want to hear what I have. She's like, no. You got to take out all the doubt. You have to speak the truth. The truth is, people want to hear what you have to say. Your words are important and they hold value. And it was like hurt. She had to tell me the truth because I did not believe it, right? Now she said, I want you to take that truth. That's a belief card. I want you to carry that belief card. And I want you to say it as many times throughout the day, but at least twice a day, I want you to say that belief out loud. And when you say it out loud, this is called all science-y for you. You're literally reprogramming your brain. You are taking the root of your negative thought. Your negative belief is a neuron pathway, and you're tearing that root up and you're creating a new neural pathway that believes truth. But the point is, you can't do this one time. You can't tear up a root one time, because the first time you say it, your pathway still says of your brain still says, that's not what I believe. No, no, you're saying that out your mouth, but your head is saying something else, right? Your root says something else. So you have to do it over and over and over. And it's scientifically proven. If you do this 20 days in a row and do it 30 days for good measure, you will reprogram your brain. And another good thing to do is to do it in the mirror, because when was the last time you lied to someone else when looking at them in the eye, right? So you're going to look at yourself in the eye and you're going to say these things. I am an amazing mom. I am a good wife. I have something that other people want. I have a message to share with others. I have a story that people want to hear. Like, whatever your lie is, you're going to say it out loud to yourself in the mirror, and you're going to thank God for this amazing day and opportunity that he's going to give you to share all that you have and all the gifts, talents, abilities, purpose that he put inside of you. And your kids are so blessed to have you, but you have more. You have a lot to do out there. He has like super abundant plans for you. So each day holds so much purpose. And if you speak that to yourself in the mirror when you first wake up and then go, who knows what will happen, right?
Yeah, it's like that. I often think about it as a wheat field. Like, you've been walking a path of wheat and you've got this path of wheat and there's wheat on each side of you. And if you're changing paths, you're not going to create a new path in one day. And that path is so easy because you've been walking it for however many years, but we almost have to pull ourselves back and go down the other path. As you say, pull out that root and really that neuroplasticity of the brain. I mean, it's so exciting that we can make changes to our brains so that we can show up in a different way and live our lives differently. And really just, oh, such joy to be had from living like that instead of living small and within those lies. So exciting.
It is exciting. I mean, every time I think about it, I'm like, gosh, God is so cool that he made our brains this way that we can actually, but it comes with intentional action. You can't just say, oh yeah, I know this information and I'm going to change my brain now. Like, no, you actually have to do the work, and it's going to take work. And I had a mentor that said, I'm going to hold you to this. So she held me accountable. Otherwise, I would have probably stopped after like 2 days, like, this isn't working, you know? So it takes a lot of work, but God gives us these tools, and we just have to, he gives us that stewardship, that responsibility, like everything that he gives us, even time, especially time, we are to be a steward of. And that means, like, if your day is taking care of your kids, be an amazing steward of that. If your day is going to work, be an amazing steward of that, because that is all a blessing, something you are borrowing and you're not the owner of. So be a good steward. This is something I am learning right now. This is why I'm speaking to it. This is something I'm learning, because we're just visiting this earth and we have so many things that we are just blessed with, and they're not ours. And so how are you going to take your time, take your day, and take your brain? You're like, how are you going to use your brain? You've been given it as a steward. You've been given this one body to be a steward of. Are you going to use it well, use it wisely, and take action on it? So it's definitely convicting.
It is indeed. And just on that timepiece, I know that you have got a time workshop. I think it's this episode is being aired on the 19th, and it's on the 19th, yes, of
yes,
March.
Yes, yes.
So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So Well, speaking of being a good steward of your time, I was thinking about that, and so many moms were coming to me and saying, I just don't know how to do all I'm supposed to do within my 24 hours, and I want to be a good steward. And I feel that, right? I feel that. I know that. I want that too. I want to be a good steward of all that I have. But we all only had 24 hours, and like, that's not new. So how do we do this? And that feeling of needing to do it all well, it brings anxiety, and it did for me, and it brought a stress. And so how can we decrease the anxiety, decrease the stress, the overwhelm, and create more time to do the things that God has called us to do, to be more productive in our lives, to be more present with our kids and our family? Well, I wanted to share that with others because God has given me a strategy for this and tools for this and wisdom for this. And I want to share it. So I'm just sharing it in a very short workshop, which is today. But with that comes, you can watch the recording. So actually, if you hear this in real time, still, we'll put the link in the show notes and you can still tap in and watch the playback on that. And then also, I just want to share more of that wisdom in a special offer. So I also have a special flash sale that's live this week to help those people that they want a little bit more one-on-one time with those concepts, those tools, those strategies that God has taught me.
Very exciting. Well, I think in South Africa, we're certainly ahead of your schedule. So
Oh, yeah.
people listening to this and be able to come. What time is it where you are today? What time is the workshop?
Well, the workshop will be March 19th, 12 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay, so I will figure out what that is in SAST and also in other areas so that we can put that in the show notes so that people can log in, but if they can't, as you say, there'll be a replay and maybe they can just come and find that replay and find out a little bit more about you there.
Yes.
And where else can they find out more about you?
Yeah, so they can find out about that workshop at www.theshanwright.com/time. So it's right with a W. And then otherwise, I am still working on my website. So they can just find me on Instagram at theshanwright. Again, right with a W. So they can connect with me there. My podcast is called Holistic Moms. And I'm anywhere you stream podcasts.
Amazing. I will put all of those links in the show notes as well. And just a huge, huge thank you for joining us today. It has been such a joy to be with you and just to hear about your journey. And I hope that everybody goes away and starts to get to know what are the lies you're believing and what are the truths that you can speak to yourself over the next 30 days so that you can really step out and just move out of anxiety and into a space of joy. So thank you so much.
Yes. And oh, I just forgot. I just remembered. I actually have a tool for that you can find. Go find me on Instagram, and then in my bio is that tool for my belief cards. So if you do want to put this into practice, it's a cool tool to help you to do that. But otherwise, yes, write down your truths twice a day in the mirror. If you don't want to grab my tool, do that. And you'll be on your way to reprogram your brain.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Shan, and good luck with the workshop.
Thank you so much, Charlotte. It's been such a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
If you want to join Shan's workshop today or to get a replay of it, you can find the link in the show notes below and go and see what her tools are that can help you to create more time, that can help you to find more time as a working mum, or go to her site and look up her belief cards, or you can just do what she suggested, write it down, look yourself in the mirror every day, and start to change the plasticity of your brain, start to change the synapses so that you can start to believe something different. I have loved this conversation with Shan today, and I hope that you've taken lots from it and go off and enjoy thinking about the truths about your life rather than the lies. I so hope that this episode has given you something to think about or something to help support you in this journey of working motherhood. If so, would you take 30 seconds to share it with another mum who may need some help in managing it all? I would also be thrilled if you would go to Apple Podcasts and leave a written review there. This way, I know that what I'm offering is making a difference, and this is what I long to do. I hope you have a great week, and I'll see you back here on Tuesday.